There's a wonderful example in the Old Testament of the children of Israel, how they went through the wilderness and took the long route. God detoured them down into the Sinai Peninsula, south or the opposite direction of the Promised Land. Because you see, God knew that it took him just a moment to deliver the people out of Egypt. But it would probably take God a lifetime to deliver Egypt out of the people.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. One of the hardest things in life to do is to wait. Nobody likes standing in lines. No one likes waiting for that check to come in the mail. So what's up with this whole thing about having to wait on the Lord? Well, today Pastor Wayne is going to show us that it's not a passive thing, like waiting for the bus. It's very active, like a waiter pouring someone that first cup of coffee first thing in the morning. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Waiting on the Promises.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah, what was it? 40:31, that's it. No, I almost forgot that. Thank you. And let's circle the words, wait upon the Lord. Would you circle those four words? Wait upon the Lord. Now, I bet you're, if you're anything like me, you, like me, hate to wait in lines, whether it's at the bank or the airport, checkout at a store. You always look for the shortest route. How many of you just despise waiting in lines? Raise your hand. Yeah, me too. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yeah. I tell you, I just hate to wait in lines. And the worst is when I'm coming to a traffic light and I see the traffic lights turning red, I'm looking for, if it's like three lanes, I'm looking for which lane has the least amount of cars. And if there's like none in there, man, I'm first in line. I love that. But I think the worst, that just is like my Achilles heel, is at the checkout at the supermarket. If there's a line that has five or six people, another one has five or six people, and I'm in a third line, I'm always checking out which line is moving faster. And, oh, this one's moving a little faster. I just go in this one, you know. And then, no, the one I was in originally. And I'm thinking, hey, you cut in line. How'd you get in front of me? Yeah, and then if I'm in a certain line, I'm thinking this one is moving faster. And I see a lady there with like choked vegetables that have to be weighed, you know, every one. So I'm saying, yeah, I think I'm going to beat that one. Yeah. And so I'm secretly competing with that one in my mind. Okay, she's up one, I'm up one. She's up one, I'm up two on this one. And if I come through the checkout, you know, thing before, while she's still checking out and I've got my bag, I'll walk by her and go, yeah. <You know? laughs> Yeah, I know, I'm twisted. But I think a lot of people are like that, though they don't let you know. And America almost picks up on our tendency to not want to wait, and they build a business on that. In fact, it was at Denny's in San Diego. I noticed, just to get more people in there, they were touting and advertising that you would get your meal as soon as the order was taken. Within 10 minutes, you would get the meal. And to certify that, they actually had an alarm clock that they set to 10 minutes and put it on your table. And it just go tick, 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 you know, and then at 10 minutes, ding! And if the food is not there, by 10 minutes, you get it free. That was the first time I wanted to be patient, saying, ding, come on, just ding. Come on, I can wait, just ding, you know? And so it was a real different thing. But even there's some pizza places that did the same thing. There's one that advertised that they could get your piping hot pizza to your house in 30 minutes, or the pizza is free. And so it quadrupled their business. Because people are impatient. They want their stuff now. I want it piping hot now. I order it and I walk to the front door. Come on, you should be there. And so they touted that they would get it anywhere in the city within 30 minutes. It just boomed their business. In fact, the president went on television and said, we don't sell pizzas, we sell service. And if you've had any of their pizzas, it's true. And then we needed it faster. So we don't want to go to restaurants. We don't even want delivery. We want fast food. And so we started to get these fast food chains. As soon as you order it, bang, it's right there. It's waiting for you under these hot lights for 3 days until you come. And you eat these flat hamburgers. And your kids love them. And so they call them fast food. It's not good food, it's not even edible food, it's not healthy food, it's fast food. It's not even real food. And then that wasn't fast enough, so we have this thing called drive-through. Can you believe that? It's just getting faster and faster, drive-through. And their goal is by the time you get up to that thing and you give your order, when you drive to that place, that little window, they're sticking your hamburger and french fries out already. It's amazing. And my kids, when they were younger, they'd love it so much. They'd be in their little kiddie seats in the back seat. I'm hungry, Dad, I'm hungry. Okay, we'll go to a restaurant. No, drive-through, drive-through. So we go through the drive-through, and they just loved that. They thought it was so cool. They didn't have to get out of the car. And so then, you know, you get all these passies, french fries back, and then they drop the stuff between the seats, and then your car smells like aging french fries for months. Rancid hamburger somewhere hiding under the seats that you can't find. And so, but they want to drive through. So I mean, after a while, it works out better because the kids will say, you know, they say, Dad, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. We don't even have to go through drive through. I just say, look between the seats and pull something out. A little bit of dirt and hair on it, but that's all right. Just brush it off. Kids liked it. Didn't bother me, you know. But you know, it's so a part of our culture. It's almost that when we come into our relationship with God, we bring that same expectation. It's almost like we want a fast God. We want fast response, fast answers. And I want it now. God, I want to be married now. I want to get out of my marriage now. I want to be financially independent now. God, I want it now. And God is saying, no. Wait a bit. Now let me work with you. No, I want it now. And what happens is we find that God is not fast enough for us. Why does he want us to wait? Why, God? Too slow of a God, huh? You know, the Bible said, would you write in that first bullet there, God is not slow. No, he's not slow. God is patient. God is patient. He's not slow. In fact, let's read it together and see what he says here. 2 Peter 3:9, go. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to. Yeah, you see, when it says God is patient with you, patient for what? Oh, we're not waiting on God. He's waiting on. So sometimes we say, God, how come you're not fast enough? It's like the Lord is saying, how come you're not? Because I'm waiting on you. For what? There's a reason why God has some time interval between the thing that I say I need and his delivery. There's a time interval. What is that for? God has a reason, and he's going to wait on us. Because there's certain things that have to happen. See, he's not slow. He is what? Patient. If God is slow, it's his responsibility. If he's patient, it's what? It flips it around. So God can meet our needs just like that. But if he did, I wonder if our hearts would be ready for that. I want to be married now. And what if we did? What would happen? It would be just a few years. We'd be in major kimchi. We'd be in problems. We'd be in stuff up to our necks. So God says, I've got your desire. I've got what you say you need. Now, wait on the Lord. For what? There's certain things that need to take place for his promises to come to pass. And he says, wait on the Lord. And if you'll wait on the Lord, now it's not a passive thing like this, waiting. No, when you are waiting on somebody in a restaurant, you are serving them. There's something that you're doing. And God is saying, I want you to wait on the Lord or serve my purposes. I'll tell you what it is in order for the promises to come to pass. And when you wait upon the Lord, you'll renew your strength. When you're waiting upon your husband, waiting upon a financial thing, waiting upon an employer, it'll zap your strength. When is he going to get his act together, that husband of mine? It'll zap your strength. But he who waits upon the Lord and does what he's asking, there's certain things that take place, will renew their strength. You see, the time interval between what we need and what God delivers, that interval is built into everything of creation. God could have had a tree planted, boop, and has apples. But instead, there's a sapling, there's a season, there's two seasons, three seasons, 4 years, and then it starts to give apples. He builds in a waiting period because there's a growth season. He also builds it into our lives. When a woman gets pregnant and conceives a child, it's 9 months for a normal delivery. 9 months. Why? Because he has to get the baby ready? Partly, but I bet part of it is he's got to get the mommy ready. Because she has to grow. There's something in her that has to get ready for this new season of her life and responsibility. And God knows that it's going to take some time to build certain character qualities, mentality, a perspective on life. And so he builds in that time, that buffer time, not for his good, but for our good. He builds that in. Because God could have added, you know, where a woman gets pregnant, just all of a sudden within like 4 or 5 hours, whoop, in and out, the thing comes. Could have. Isn't that right? He could have had just plant a seed and whoop, oh, wah. He could have done it any way he wanted to. But for some reason, he has it in such a way that the gestation period takes 9 months because there's things that have to take place in us. God builds that in. And even in more practical ways, I remember how God just kind of put me on hold. A friend of mine called me and said, "Hey, Wayne, there's a cabin in Oregon that's up for sale. And if you can buy it, then you can come up and, you know, and vacation in it or do whatever. You can write there. And it's really nice." And I thought, oh, that's cool. You know, Mark Twain had a little cabin that he wrote at and so on. Maybe I can do that. So I called this real estate lady up there and said, "Hey, I want to get that cabin." And so she's starting to do some stuff. And then she drops my papers and something else happened. I'm getting really upset. I said, "God, come on. I want that right now. I want it right now." And everything just kind of went on wait, on hold. Finally, about 4 weeks later, she called me back and said, "You know, man, someone else got in there from another real estate agent and bought it." I said, "Oh, God, come on, God, you're too slow. Too slow. Gotta move, gotta move, gotta move." And then later on, I realized that I'm so glad God put me on wait or on hold or on pause, because when I looked at it, my budget couldn't have sustained it. And it would have been way too much. It would have been such it's like a shackle around my ankle. It would have been a ball and chain. And I thought, oh God, thank you for teaching me, sometimes forcing me to wait, because you know me better than I know myself. And I must learn to trust you in the waiting period. There's a purpose, isn't it? I'm glad I waited, because my brother bought a nice cabin up on the Rogue River, and now I can use it for free. So you say, well, why wait, though? Why wait? What are some of the purposes of waiting? Well, there's a wonderful example in the Old Testament of the children of Israel, how they went through the wilderness and took the long route. You know, if they would have, when they left Egypt, if they would have gone through a short route, which would have been through the land of the Philistines along the Mediterranean Sea, they could have gotten in the promised land 2-3 years they would have been in there. But instead, God detoured them down into the Sinai Peninsula, south or the opposite direction of the promised land. And they looped the Mount Sinai a few times, 40 years there. What was the reason for the long route? Why does God have us wait? Because you see, God knew that it took him just a moment to deliver the people out of Egypt, but it would probably take God a lifetime to deliver Egypt out of the people. Their hearts weren't ready. And if they would encounter problems, they'd say, "I'm going to go back to Egypt." And you already saw many symptoms of that in the desert. And so one of the reasons why God has us wait, because he foresees and he knows the challenges that we'll have up ahead. He sees where we are now and he looks at the two and says, "I've got to build a mature heart in this person, in this son, in this daughter, in order for this one to receive the promise. So I've got to take the promise and put it out about here. And if you wait on the Lord now, if you do it right, you'll have it built by the time the promise will be inherited. But if you're too fast and you get it now, it'll be like the prodigal son that says, 'I want my inheritance now, now.' And he gets it, and within a few weeks it's squandered and everything is lost. So I look at your maturity," the Lord says, "and I see your heart. And I need to, if you wait on the Lord now and you do what I ask you to do right about here. Now wait on the Lord and you'll renew your strength. And when you're ready, you'll inherit the promise." Because your heart's not mature yet. So why does God want us to wait? Would you write in number one, waiting builds a mature heart. Waiting builds a mature heart because God knows us better than we know ourselves. And that's what happened in the children of Israel. Let's read Exodus 13, 17. Go. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Go back to their old ways, backslide. And so God says, here's what I really want for you. And I know that it would be great for you, but this is too soon. This is not good enough because I know that you've got to build that mature heart. And I'll help you, but if you'll wait on the Lord right about here. Okay, now I'll walk with you and let's walk into your inheritance. God's promise of a marriage, God's promise of a business or of financial independence or whatever it might be. God knows us better than we know ourselves. What's the waiting time for? Oh, he's not slow. He is patient. Yeah, because it's about us, see? And we have to wait on the promises and wait on the Lord, and it builds the things that God wants. Because you're going to face problems. You're going to face challenges. And God knows that. And if it were encountered right here, we'd fall away. We'd go back to Egypt. And sometimes we say, God, we'll just remove the problems then. Then we can have everything now. Ah. You see, God's goal is not for us to have all these wonderful things accumulated and just use God as a genie in the lamp. I want this now, now, now. Okay, bring this to me. Grapes. Come on. No. God's goal is likeness because he created us in his image. And in Romans 12, it says, don't let the world press you into its image, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So God is going to put us into his image, lest we become by default pressed into the world's image and we become a worldly people rather than a godly people. And the image of the world is more seen in us rather than the image of God. Listen, you can have the title Christian, but still have the image of the world on you. And we know many like that. And God is saying, that's why we are here in churches like this, so that we can learn as Christians to get the image of God stamped on our lives, so that we decrease and he increase. Yeah. And so God's goal is likeness, not getting a bunch of stuff. Likeness, that's the greatest, because the rest is going to fade away. That image must never, because that's what the world needs to see. So God is going to work with that. So when the problems come, what happens is he walks us through the problems, and as we learn to solve problems, we become more like him. We become more patient, we become understanding, wiser, more insightful. We start to learn the difference between not only what's right and wrong, but what's wise and unwise. We have a little bit more foresight. We have self-control. All of that will only be learned through working through problems. See, Jesus is not, as wonderful as the song is, Jesus is not the bridge over troubled waters. No, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because he flew us over? No. Helicoptered us over? No. Boomeranged us over? No. Because thou art with me. You're going to walk with me. Where? Through. Not over. Through. Why through? Because through working through problems with him by our side, we come through looking a little bit more like him. We've learned something. Because let's say this is a 10-year swath of time. And we just say, God, remove all the problems. I need it done now. So here we go. Here's problem. Oh, problem. Get rid of it, God. Get rid of it. Okay, thank you. A little bit more. Kids. Problem. Okay. Another problem. No, God, get rid of problems. Okay. No problems. Okay, all right. Now, at the end of this 10 years, if no problems, would we be any more mature, any better, any different than we were when we entered? Not one iota. See, there's a reason that God allows us to walk through. No, not fly over, walk through. And then lean on him for wisdom that's going to be built through the time. Self-control is going to be built. Humility. How many of us have hit the wall and we've gotten a lot more humble? How many of you would raise your hand and say, yep, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. See, we can get swell-headed until you hit the wall and you realize that we're not all that we're cracked up to be. And then we get real humble. And God says, okay, that's where I needed you. But if he removed all of those things, do you know how arrogant we would be at the end? You know, we would be completely on a different planet. And so God says, I'm going to build in you a mature heart, and I'm not going to remove all of that. In fact, he said to the Israelites, when you go through, you're going to have subsequent battles in all of these nations before you. Now, I'm not going to wipe them out all at a time, one at a time. Nope, I'm going to clear all of these things away little by little. Why? Because you must become fruitful along the way. Let's read it and you'll see. Read the next scripture with me out of Exodus 23. Go. I will not drive them out before you in a single year, that the land may not become desolate. I will drive them out before you little by little until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. You understand? So don't be afraid of problems. Walk with them through it. And I say this, don't despise anything that takes you to your knees. Never despise anything that takes you to your knees. Because when it does, I get up from my knees looking a little more like him, with a little more character, a little more depth, a little more wisdom, a little more humility. And if nothing ever took us to our knees, we wouldn't change much, would we? God's goal is likeness. And he knows that the promise is here. And as we wait upon the Lord and go through some of these things, then, it would be a lot shorter, a different route. You can shortcut it. Mm-hmm. You can push God's way aside. I don't want God's way. It's too slow. And shortcut, deviate. Yep. But you know, if you do, it'll be a prodigal son situation, another scenario just like that. And that thing will kill us because we're not ready. Our hearts aren't mature yet. So is it just a waiting time? Come on, God. Come on, God. Come on. No. Waiting upon the Lord is, Lord, what shall I do during this time? You got a lot to do. And God is not slow. He is patient. But here's another thing that helps so much, because as I'm going through this time, I'm learning to trust in God, not in myself. Would you write number two? It builds our trust in God. I can't tell you how much that these times have built trust. Don't rush through the seasons of your life, because God has a purpose for every single one of us. And he's going to build trust. Let's read Hebrews 6:12. Go. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what was promised. Yeah. We've got to be patient. And it builds trust. I remember when Anna and I first went to Hilo, we didn't have a computer for bulletins or anything. It was just a pioneer start. And a lady, wonderful lady, donated a typewriter to us with whiteout. And that's how I did bulletins and typed them all out and whited out. And then I had to get clip art and paste it on. And then we didn't have a copy machine. Well, there was a bookstore downtown that said to me that I'll let you use our copy machine for 2 cents a copy if you provide your own paper. So I thought, all right. So I'd buy colored paper, take the original with all the pasted things on there and copy it, and then turn it over and copy the other side, and then go back and fold it. And that would be our bulletins. And you know, it just developed the trust in the Lord that it's okay. I'm going to start there. Because you see, the Lord wants us to trust him step by step. If he just showed us everything, it's going to be wonderful. You're going to have copy machines one day. Oh, man, I say, okay, I'm not going to, I just want the copy. Come on, God, bring the copy machines. Bring this, bring that. No, God doesn't show us that. He says, I want you to trust me every day, right where I start you. When the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, that word lamp was a little lamp that was in the Hebrew days that held, about a half a cup of oil in there with one little wick that's floating in. And in a dark alley or a dark hallway, that little lamp would light up just, not the whole thing, it would light up the next step. It'll just give you enough light for the next step. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And in doing so, as you follow, then it becomes a light unto my path.
You've been listening to part one of a message entitled Waiting on the Promises with Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. And until this same time tomorrow, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.